We've all been watching the progress of Honolulu's $8 billion train as the guideway makes its way toward the airport and into town. But it's the Hart Board that's at the helm. That's the subject of today's reality check. Honolulu Civil Beats reporter Marcel Henre on the line today. Good morning.
Aloha, Catherine. Happy Tuesday.
Yes. And so I understand from your story that while we have extra board members that were supposed to monitor the progress of rail, they're not showing up.
That's right. These are state-appointed board members. These are extra seats that were added in 2017. You might remember the state had to bail out the project yet again with what at that time was a $2.4 billion bailout package. And so part of that, to add extra scrutiny and to try and give the public some assurance, you know, that they were keeping a better eye on things, was to add these board seats. The problem is that so far this year, by and large, those board members, with one exception, really, they have not been showing up to these meetings. Two of the seats have been vacant going back to last year. State Senate leaders say that they're having trouble filling those two seats. And then another board member, the fourth member sitting in that seat, just resigned last week, right around the time that I was trying to catch up with what his status on the board was. And he had not been at a meeting since January. So all in all, you've basically had one person from the state in there and these three empty seats.
Well, kudos to the one person who has been attending those meetings. Who is it?
That's right. Shout out to Michelle Brungraber. She has, as I understand it, it's pretty interesting. She has a background working with the CIA and deals a lot with federal contracts in her work. And she's one of the more inquisitive board members. She asks a lot of great questions. She is, however, a non-voting member. It's a key thing to add. Overall, the Hart Board is a voluntary board. That's an important point to make. And these four extra seats were non-voting seats. They were really just a way to kind of keep eyes and ears in the board meetings. But the addition of those four seats has caused a lot of issues for Hart in terms of its quorum and its voting rules. Those non-voting seats, if you can kind of try and follow along, they add those to the overall total. So when they have to make a vote, when they take votes, they need 8 of 9 voting members to vote in the affirmative to pass anything, because they're still including those extra non-voting members as part of the total. So in a lot of ways, it's made life a little complicated for Hart, and that has come back to bite them a little bit in a few key instances. You know, and that you might say that's fine. That's the price you get for this extra scrutiny. The issue, however, is that you're not getting quite as much scrutiny with these long-term vacancies.
Yeah, but it just is a dilemma when you can't do the business of the board.
Yeah, it's caused some issues, like, you know, and just when you go to these meetings, you'll see they cram all these action items to the front of the agenda, and they really try and race through, and they don't always get through it where people have to leave. Again, it's a volunteer board. People have other responsibilities and the like. Which kind of brings up the larger issues and dynamics, which is that this is a, you know, as you mentioned, an $8 billion construction project, $9 billion when you throw in the financing. Those are the latest estimates. This is a mega, massive, complex project, and it's just been an issue retaining board members, you know, getting the expertise that they need, where people are willing to volunteer and make such a heavy commitment at the same time.
Well, now, as far as the other seats, who were the other no-shows?
So you have Kamani Kuala Au is the technical no-show, at least for this year. He offered a resignation letter to Scott Sike, who's the House Speaker, last week, basically saying, you know, he's got a lot of heavy commitments with his job and his other duties, and he just isn't able to make it anymore. The two seats that were vacated, this goes back to November and December of last year. You had the former state budget director Wes Machida, who had to resign just amid family issues that he had to help take care of. And interestingly, the other one was the CFO, Calbert Young, who had to leave. He wanted to stay on the board. But interestingly, they added under his job duties negotiating all the HART land agreements that the university needs as the system comes online for parking and space around the university. So it was a conflict of interest, and he actually just had to leave under those circumstances. The issue is that, you know, the state and the state Senate, they haven't been able to fill those two seats now going on almost – we're almost coming up on a year. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate because both Wes Machida and Calbert Young – were good eyes to have.
Absolutely. Those are really good financial eyes, as you say.
Okay. And so, so I understand they had a meeting that they had to cancel this month because they won't have quorum.
Canceled this week, no quorum. So it keeps, you know, these issues just keep kind of stumbling along. And again, why do we care? This is like the largest ever, most expensive, most complex project, right? So it's kind of an important oversight issue.
Okay, $9 billion over eight. I stand corrected. Thanks so much, Marcel.
Sure thing. Thanks, Catherine.
That was reporter Marcel Henry with today's reality check. To read his full story, visit civilbeat.org.